This week's episode of Beer Buzz is brought to you by Speak Aloud Beer Classics, the class of glass.
And nothing else.
Ding! Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beer Buzz on BeerTapTV.com. I am Eric Bowles.
I'm Eli Shadovich.
Beer Buzz would be the show that brings you all of the news from around the beerosphere as aggregated right here on BeerTapTV.com. If you're watching this video elsewhere, you may, in fact, be seeing this little browser bar up here, this menu bar in the video. You probably won't be able to click on it. If you were on BeerTapTV.com directly or any of our affiliate stations, you would, in fact, be able to click on that and do all kinds of cool stuff.
Immersive,
interactive content.
All that stuff.
What are you drinking, my friend?
I am drinking some Helles.
From the Friends of Beer Works.
From our good Friends of Beer Works up in Woodland Park. They just opened this up this last weekend.
It's kind of a soft opening, right?
It was a soft opening, and if that is any indication of how they're going to do, huge success.
Really?
It was packed the entire time we were there.
Not bad.
So, yeah, good stuff. They focus on German beers. This happens to be a Helles. And what are you drinking?
Well, right now I'm finishing up a little can of PBR that I was...
Do you want a little bit of this?
I do, in fact, want some of that, please.
Yeah, let me pour you that little bad boy.
Yeah, because I definitely want to drink that. I was drinking...
I short poured you. Hold on. That's just wrong of me.
It's burned my life.
That's just wrong.
Looks a little bit flat.
It kind of is.
A little bit.
You know,
not bad.
This has been in the growler since Saturday,
yeah.
And I've opened it up a bunch of times. So
little flat.
Yeah, a little flat,
little
but
flat.
It's still tasty as hell.
Yeah, so I'm just polishing up a little PBR that I was doing while we were putting the set together and putting everything up and blah, blah, blah.
The new set.
Actually shot Beer Buzz at last
we
time.
We did.
So
we did.
Not new.
We got newer gizmos and setups over there.
We do.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's actually like a real studio now.
A little bit more. Anyway,
more professional.
So, I'm drinking PBR. Next week on Beer Buzz... Huge announcement coming.
Yes.
Something very, very interesting coming from Firestone Walker. We will actually have, what's his name?
John Bryan, export director from Firestone Walker, right here on the show.
In the BeerTap TV studios.
Yep.
Kind of giving us a little sneak peek into what is coming down the road for Firestone. So, very, very cool. Very excited for that. What else do we have going on?
GABF is now officially sold out, if you did not hear.
Has been. I think it was sold out 2 weeks ago.
Friday the 13th is when it sold out. Because that is the day I gave my presentation at the Craft Lager School.
Gotcha.
That was the last session to sell out. Because the other ones had already sold out. But we were waiting for Thursday. Is that what it was? Thursday's session to sell out? Yeah.
And
during my presentation, it actually sold out. So, and it is the fastest sellout in history.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
speaking of that, how did your presentation go at Craft Lager?
It went good. From everybody that I heard, it went very well. So
nice.
For my first major... presentation. Yeah, Brandon's back there giving the choke sign. Thanks, bitch. It was fun. Good school. Learned some things about lagers that I did not know from Brian Pearson at Brewing Science Institute.
Yeah.
So that was very good. Zach from Schmaltz gave a good speech.
Yeah.
It was good. Overall good. Craft Lager Festival was the bomb. Sold out. They blew kegs on the first day.
Jesus.
By about 4 o'clock. Most of the brewers.
Second largest. Now officially the second largest craft lager festival second largest beer festival you were saying?
In the state of Colorado.
They started blowing them up the same time on Sunday.
Did they? So there you go. If you want to, you guys got to hit this festival next year. It's supreme. It's very well put together, organized, and it was even better than last year's.
Wow.
Organization-wise. They had it laid out a little different, so...
Totally solar. 100% solar.
Yep.
No power pulled
in
at all. Big truck set up with big things on the roof that go into gen sets or packs or whatever.
Yep.
And they power everything. That's beyond awesome.
Well, it's a bunch of hippies putting that on.
Still.
Manitou Springs, you know, they're all green.
That's totally cool.
They nailed it. They knocked it out of the park.
I love it.
Good stuff.
Very, very cool. So what else?
Beer Bloggers Conference in Boulder in November.
Yes.
If you haven't signed up yet... Do so soon because those tickets are now starting to go quickly.
Correct.
Also, and this just came down the pipeline here, they are going to do a virtual Colorado beer tasting. Simple concept in which bloggers and the public are encouraged to purchase Colorado beers, open them all at the same time, which is 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Thursday, September 9th.
Now, brief pause. Alan Wright and I have been talking about this, and we are most likely going to host on beertaptv.com on our website, be a special page. We'll send that out. Anybody who has a video camera, and that includes, and we'll send this out, if you have an iPhone, there's a live streaming app that you can download for this iPhone to where you can be at a beer bar and walking around and streaming live directly to the internet, and you'll be able to go into this room where there's not only Twitter interfaces, chat interfaces, but a bunch of video interfaces as well. So anybody who's in video, you can watch what's going around at all these different tastings across the U.S. as they happen. So live beer tasting. So still working on some details on that. We're pretty confident we can get that done by that date, but that's what's coming up. So
we'll have more details in the show notes and where to go, because they have a tweet feed and a Facebook page and all that good stuff. So September 9th, Thursday, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is 9 o'clock Eastern and 6 o'clock West Coast
Pacific
time.
Gotcha.
So,
cool.
Central doesn't count, so
nah.
He just fell off the map. Sorry,
fell off the map. So cool. All right, very cool.
Isn't Philly in Central Time? Where's Philly?
Philly's
they
east.
Are they East Coast?
Yeah,
all right.
Philly's east.
They don't count anymore either.
Speaking of Philly,
yes. The reason I said that about Philly is you guys suck. Sorry, you're the city of brotherly love. Are you serious?
No.
Okay, so
not the Philly beer scene. Not all of our beer blogger friends out there like Matarana and those. You
town.
Guys don't suck.
The town.
Blows.
Chunks.
From a government perspective.
Yes. If you recall, back in March, the great Philly beer raids, where the state police, in conjunction with the liquor board, simultaneously raided three different beer bars over one citizen complaint. They raided them and took a bunch of their beer, saying that they were unlicensed. All that horse pucky and all that garbage. Well, now, the city of Philadelphia, if you're a blogger of any kind, you have to pay $300 for a privilege license, plus taxes and on any profits that you made. So even if you made $11 or $50, you have to pay $300 for a privilege license to write a blog. Epic fucking failure.
It is kind of dumb.
What? Really? Are you that strapped for cash that you have to go and hit up bloggers of any kind? So here we go. Marilyn Bess made $50 over last couple of years from her blog and a few contributions to ehow.com. Totally a hobby. Same goes for Sean Berry, who says he's made only $11 over the last 2 years. But to the city of Philadelphia,
it's still a business.
It's a potential moneymaker, and thus they want your nutsack in a bag.
So not only do they want $300, and they're going to want taxes and all that on top of
that
$11,
is exactly right. This is a quote from Bess. The real kick in the pants is that I don't even have a full-time job, so for the city to tell me to pony up $300 for a business privilege license, pay wage tax, business privilege tax, net profits tax on a handful of money is outrageous. And we couldn't agree more. This is the most absurd thing that we've heard in, since March, when you raided three beer bars.
Here's the thing. There's got to be something behind the scenes of this, like somebody else who's a business owner of some sort that's not making much money but yet had to do a license to be a sole proprietor of some sort, generate revenue, had to have complained about it and said, why can't bloggers do it? There had to be something that happened at city council that made this happen. I can't imagine that there's some guy that just went out on his own and decided to make this a big initiative. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
And, you know, behind the scenes, we talk about politics and, you know, Republican, Democrat, blah, blah. I don't believe in politics. It's become so bastardized that basically they're all corrupt. That's my point of view. I don't vote for the very simple fact that I am tired of picking between the lesser of two evils. And this is just another example of government getting in the fucking way. This is absurd.
You're angry.
I'm really angry.
You're angry.
I'm angry.
Lots of swear words.
A lot of swear words.
I don't think I've said one swear word this whole show so far.
Which is amazing. I'm making up for you.
Piss off.
So anyway, sorry for you guys in Philly, man. This is, we're gonna do follow-ups on this with all our peeps in Philadelphia that write about beer to see what they're getting hit up with. This just literally came down the pipe as we were getting ready for the show. So, we'll do a follow-up in the next couple of weeks.
Moving right along, wanted to do a little precursor to this. Ladies, at the Great American Beer Festival this year, if you are attending, Ladies of Craft Beer is doing a beer for boobies brunch.
Love that.
Beer for boobies brunch to benefit breast cancer, obviously.
Yes.
It's at the new Fresh, which is
Fresh Craft.
It's a little ways away from the convention center.
Yeah, it is.
It's not what we would call close.
No. But still.
Very, very well worth it. It's going to be a phenomenal brunch.
Hopefully we'll be able to get up there.
Tickets are only $20, is that right?
It's something like that, yeah.
Spanking cheap. I mean, spanking cheap.
Well worth going to.
Go Google Ladies of Craft Beer, GABF, and buy those tickets, get involved in that.
I'm trying to find it.
To the thing that prompted this, obviously the Denver Rear Beer Tasting, right? This is absolutely a not-to-be-missed event. Even if you're not an uber beer geek, say you're just going to the GABF to hang out and drink beer and be with your buddies and whatever, this is a not-to-be-missed event. Here's why. One, it benefits prostate cancer awareness, right? I mean, that's the whole point of Pints for Prostates is getting men to talk about something very serious like prostate cancer over a beer.
Exactly.
Best way to do that? Rare beer tasting event. And by rare beer tasting event, I mean, we mean rare. They've got a lot of really, really interesting breweries. We announced that, three weeks ago. What some of the brewers were, but not what the actual beers themselves were. Now the Tasting 2 releases, this has released the beer list itself.
Yes.
The beers that are scheduled to be poured at the Denver Rare Beer Tasting. Yeah, but he was a retard. Alaskan Whiskey Barrel Aged Smoked Porter. Avery, what is that? Quincupertite?
That's why I gave it to you.
Dick. Bell's Eccentric Ale 2004. So that's an aged beer, very aged, 6 years. That fly is crawling on me, or that flying spider. One or the other, I don't know, but I don't like it.
It has legs.
Big Sky Barrel-Aged Ivan the Terrible, Samuel Adams Cosmic Mother Funk, Brooklyn Remen Schweinzenbach, The Brewery Melange 3, Cascade Noyove Sour Ale, Cigar City, can't wait for this, Cigar City White Oak-Aged High Lai India Pale Ale, Deschutes Black Butte the 12, or the 22nd, the XXII, which was real popular here about a year ago or so.
Yeah.
That's also going to be an aged beer. Dogfish Head Namaste, or Namaste.
Namaste.
Depending on how you say
Namaste.
It, right?
Namaste.
Namaste or Namaste. Foothills 2009 Sexual Chocolate. That's what the girls call me. At least they did back in 2009.
And we don't want to know why.
No, me either. Founders Nemesis. Goose Island Burble Barrel Coffee Stout. Now, we've had the Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout, and it was beyond epic.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm really interested to try the Coffee Stout as well. Great Divide Flanders Red, Jolly Pumpkin Beer de Gourde, New Belgium Tart Leche,
maybe?
Leche?
Yeah, Leche.
Pike Triple Creek, Rogue 21st Ale, Russian River Temptation, Sierra Nevada Brandy Barrel Aged Belgian Triple.
Ooh, yeah,
Stone Collaboration ESB should be really good. Three Floyds Dark Lord.
Yes, can't we finally can that. Taste some of that shit before it sells out.
Yeah, that will be absolutely incredible. Upstream 2006, is that, I mean, I can never pronounce that. Is that Guise or Goose?
Goose, I've heard Goose, Goose. It's
Hoochie
Goose.
Coo. Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
That's exactly right.
The Weyerbacher Decadence and Wincoop Orville .33. So,
mega rare.
Very limited
beers.
Number of 500 tickets for the Denver Rear Pasting are available. The $80 admission includes samples of 26 hard to find brews. Hors d'oeuvres, little hors d'oeuvres, commemorative tasting glass, event program, and the chance to meet the men and women who created these special beers.
Yeah.
The event is on the 18th, which is...
It's on the 17th.
Which is Thursday, Friday.
Friday.
Friday the 17th at the Wincoop Brewing Company on 18th Street, same place it was last year, 1 to 4 p.m.
Upstairs.
We will be there covering this event.
Yes, we will.
So hopefully we'll get a chance to at least try one or two of these beers. Our primary goal of being there, we're going to try to interview a bunch of brewers. We're going to talk to, talk to Rick again about the event and the huge success of last year, because now we have the second annual and that's, people are like, this is the first annual. No, it's not. It's the first one. You can only call it annual when it happens twice. There's no such thing as the first annual anything unless you're guaranteed it's going to run again the next year, right? So congratulations to Rick. Done very, very well on that.
And those tickets might be
They might be
gone,
dude.
They're really close to being sold out. I know he hasn't pimped anything out about it being sold out, but, and man, there's only a handful of tickets.
I can't. I honestly cannot tell you enough how much, Rick, we appreciate your support of the show.
Oh, God, yeah.
Us giving us press passes to allowing us to come in and cover the event, cover all the brewers, get a chance to interview them. I mean, obviously, you know, you see the value in promoting, you know, prostate awareness and all that, but I can't thank you enough for, you know, getting us into that event.
Definitely.
And September giving us the opportunity.
September is the Prostate Awareness Month.
I'm still looking. We're going to
get a doctor.
I'm trying
to do a...
Most doctors won't come on the show. I'm like, hey, come on the show. We'll do a PSA test and a prostate exam and discuss the differences between the two, which one's better, which one's worse, what the differences are.
Really?
And
most
doctors are like, ooh, not on film. Liability. You never know who that's going to sue who, whatever. And even though we wouldn't sue him, there could be somebody somewhere way down the road that sues him for something totally different, and now there's internet-based video that's admissible in court on his practices, his whatever.
Okay, well, if we can't get a doctor, we'll get Brandon.
Eli will do it.
Oh, no. Brandon will do it. We'll get Brandon to do it. He'll do anything.
No, what about getting him in? Do it, like, behind the scenes. Just not on film, but have the guy... Do the interview.
But see, I want him to be there and actually talk about it and whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Have him here, have him do it, but then do the test, but not on film.
But on film is much, much funnier.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's much, much funnier.
You
might be able to find a doctor on Nevada walking the streets.
Of course.
Okay, we'll look for somebody on Nevada just walking the streets.
Hey, everybody. Whoops. Yeah, that should be great.
Okay, moving on.
Good friends of Miller Coors.
Miller Coors taking a cue from... AC, you know, Coors, you know, Golden, AC Golden, has established a craft and import beer business called Tent and Blake Beer Company in reference to its craft breweries in Milwaukee and Denver. Tent and Blake will operate, much like AC Golden, as an independent company with its own marketing, trade marketing, and an independent sales organization.
Huh.
It's going to be totally dedicated to craft beer and the import business. They will insource, obviously, some of the stuff from the big, gigantic conglomerate, Miller
Coors.
Sure. So in the second quarter, the business was led by a strong performance of Blue Moon and Leinenkugel. So if you didn't know, they actually do own Leinenkugels now. And
right.
The segment delivered double-digit growth. So, both craft beers and imports are outperforming Miller Coors' premium flagship brands like Miller Lite and Coors Lite, which are posting declining sales. So far this year, craft beer has gone up 12% in the first 6 months. And by some estimates, craft beer sales overall has tanked almost 3%. So craft beer is making a very, very big statement this year. As we continue to see craft beer.
It's really interesting because...
Overall beer sales has tanked. Macro beer has basically tanked 3%.
It's really, really interesting, too, because the macro beer has gone backwards. It's interesting to see the craft brewers moving into this space because I actually just talked to a guy who actually works directly for Budweiser this weekend at a party.
Okay.
We had a pretty long conversation about this. And I also spoke to... totally blanked on his name on Twitter.
Hoptopia.
Yes. Thank you. Hoptopia.
Basically Red's boyfriend, I believe. Yeah.
Better half. Worse half. Something half.
Better
other half.
Some other half.
Different half. Anyways, yeah. So we had this conversation, and I advocate that it is because of the macro brewers, partially, not entirely, I'm not saying that's entirely it, partially the result or the responsibility of the macro brewers, Bud, Miller, Coors, etc., that craft beer has seen such an explosive growth. Part of that is because people are using Bud Light as an on-ramp to a better beer. Part of, you know, to not 100% their responsibility. What I'm saying is you're the guy that normally drinks Bud Light. A lot of beer bars are starting to carry a diversity of beer, so now you sit down and belly up to your traditional Bud Light, you see another beer up there, you're like, hey, I'm going to try that one. So part of it is responsibility of the beer bars. Part of it is a responsibility of Michelob, Coors, things like that, from doing batch 19,
I would agree with that.
Are these like one half a step above transitional beers where you're like, oh, it's still a Coors product. I really like Coors Light. I'm going to do batch 19 or Bud Amber American Ale or whatever. And maybe you get just that little bit of that extra malt or something. You're like, wow, it's more flavorful. And that is what starts you down that road.
Right.
I'm not saying that the 7% growth is the responsibility of Budweiser or AB InBev or 12% growth of Budweiser or anything like that. I'm saying they have a significant role to play in this, and it's the proof in the pudding is that they are doing things like this and going towards being craft brewers. They realize and understand and identify how important this is.
I think Blue Moon is one of the key...
Shock Top,
the Michelob line of craft beers, which are... Some of them are really, really good.
Pointed out that I thought was what I think it was Budweiser, but still owned by AB InBev.
They're still but they're a separate entity, but they're still under the umbrella.
Yeah,
and I would have to I can't argue that because it's true. We've heard that from some of the the craft brewers that we've talked to. Brewing Science guys would agree with that too. I mean the Sandlot guys at Coors Field, which is a part of the Coors umbrella. That make Blue Moon. I mean, Blue Moon, Shock Top, the Michelob, like the Batch 19.
Right.
That is really going to be a transitional beer for people that just drink light beers.
Totally. Still totally a Class 1 beer all the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it is getting people into the market.
Have you seen the spoof on Double Rainbow? You know the Double Rainbow video?
Well, of course.
You know, Double Rainbow.
Because they're doing, Jason and John
doing
Double
Rainbow beer, right. So this guy who sounds exactly like him, sounds just exactly like Bear Vasquez,
I have video camera,
he walks into this store and he looks up and there's a pack of AA batteries on the wall and he goes, whoa, AA batteries. And he pulls them off and he's like, AA. And then it moves into some other thing where he's like at a party and this guy's at his party and he has a chip and he dips it in the dip and he bites it and he dips it in there again and he bites it again and he's way back in there and he's like, whoa, double dip right at my party, double dip. And then it goes into this guy with two red cups and he's like, double fister. And then this guy reaches down and picks up a third cup off and he goes, whoa, it looks like a triple fister. No way. There's one about double parking. And then this girl standing there and this girl's like, this party's lame. Do you want to go back to my place and study anatomy? And he goes, whoa, double entendre. What does it mean? And he starts crying and shit. It's hilarious. And then after the ride, there's like this like fairly aggressive sex scene afterwards, and like at the end, and she's all done. She's like, "You're not going to think I'm a slut, are you?" And he goes, "No, that'd be a double standard." Whoa, double standard! It is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I gotta check that out. I have not seen that.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
I've not seen that at all.
It's funny stuff. So, North American Breweries (NAB) has acquired Independent Brewers Union or United (IBU). So. For those of you that don't know, and there's been some talk about, you know, what are these? Are they conglomerates? Are they clearinghouses? Are they, you know, are they a conglomerate of several breweries? So, no. North American Brewers acquired Independent Brewers United, which is IBU is one of the largest craft brewers in the United States, and its Magic Hat Brands has been one of the fastest growing craft breweries every year since 2005. The company produces, markets, and sells the complete line of Pyramid, Magic Hat, and McTarnahan's brand of families of beer. IBU, on the other hand, that got acquired, operates three state-of-the-art breweries, which include, what are they? It's High Falls Brewing Company.
Labatt.
High Falls
does.
No, he already owns those. IBU was...
Oh, Magic Hat, Pyramid, and... what?
Is that right?
Did we screw this up?
Yeah, IBU, that's right, IBU.
IBU is Magic
IBU is
Hat,
the one that owns
Pyramid,
Magic Hat, Pyramid, and McTarnahan's. That's right. They're the ones that own those three. They got acquired by the North American Breweries, which already owns Labatt, High Falls Brewing Company, and a bunch of others. So,
Genesee.
I think it'll be very, very interesting. So, I just got back from Maine on vacation, right?
Yes, you did.
And I had a 12 mix pack of Magic Hat.
Mm.
Dude, number 9.
Oh, yeah. That's legendary.
Oh, my God. What a great beer. They have a ginger beer that I'm normally not a big fan of that was phenomenal.
Mm.
Ridiculously phenomenal.
See, because when you start talking about ginger beer, then you're talking about Moscow Mules.
Yeah.
Which is my go-to hard alcohol drink.
Uh-huh.
Vodka, ginger beer, in a... don't you even tap that, because that would be nasty.
That would
be
horrid for you.
So, yeah. Definitely. I wish we... there. Has anybody seen Magic Hat out here anywhere? Because I haven't. Nowhere. Not even at Coltrane.
No. I have not seen Magic Hat out here. And Yeah, so that's very, very interesting, right? Is that so? I think there will be good things to come out of that.
For sure, that size, that great kind of stuff. Absolutely,
that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
so,
it helps, you know, get their beer distributed in places that they normally would not have. So it's good for everybody. It's good for all the craft brewers.
Maybe we'll get some here.
Yes, we'll have to look into that for maybe, show.
Maybe so.
Okay, so I'm going to do the trivia question because I got it loaded up here instead of you. Well, a couple weeks ago, we asked some damn question about Bengals that walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, we basically said, who sang this song, what year was it, and what year did it become popular, maybe?
Yeah, that was probably it. It was the Bengals, one of their good albums, and it was in 1985.
That's
or something
what it was.
Like that.
What was the album? What was the year? And who sang it? So it was obviously the Bengals.
And
Daryl
Winovich, our homeboy from back. He's actually won once before. He's got some glasses for him. He actually answered the question correctly, so he got a prize pack. What did I send him? Oh, the Ninkasi Dickey shirt.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that has already been sent to him.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Daryl.
So this week, it is, what movie does this quote come from, and who stars in it? So here's the quote. We're going to play it right here. Oh, it would help if I turned it on.
Give this job to my friend here. He loves playing in the jungle, right?
Right.
It's his problem.
Okay. That's the quote right there.
Okay.
That's the quote.
So what's the trivia question again?
What movie does this come from? This quote come from right here.
He loves playing in the jungle, right?
Right. It's his problem.
That's the quote. What movie and who stars in it?
Okay. How many stars do they have to give? Can we tell them how many stars there are? Are you looking for all the stars? Are you looking for like the entire cast sheet?
The main ones. And you'll know what I mean when you figure it out.
Okay.
Because giving a number is going to give it away.
Gotcha. Okay, so the gig is, must be a registered member of BeerTapTV.com.
Yes.
Must email us, alwayshoppy@BeerTapTV.com. With that, you can also click right up here on trivia question and blah, 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 and answer it right here inside the video, right? So do that. Send us your answer. We'll pick one lucky winner. And what do they win, Mr.
They're going to win two things that are new that we have not given out before. We did a beer gadget of the week a few weeks ago, the keg cap tap. If you go back and watch the awesome commercial that we made for it. If you're a home brewer or have a tap in your house, a home bar maybe, with some taps in it, you'll really dig that. And a Pyramid Deadlift IPA shirt.
Nice.
It's a really cool shirt. Really, really thin for nice summertime wearing. Has the Deadlift IPA logo on the back.
It's the end of August.
Yeah, I know. You'll like it.
It'll be great for next summer.
So there we go.
And what size is that?
We have a myriad of sizes.
Oh, sweet. Okay, great.
So,
well, there you have that.
Yes, Pyramid sent us a bunch of stuff, a bunch of shirts.
Damn, that was loud hitting that table.
Yeah, sorry about that. Didn't mean to blow guys out.
Very nice. Moving right along to beer releases of the week. The Full Sail Brewing Company in Hood River, Oregon, has released their Sanctuary Dubbel or Double, depending on how you want to pronounce it. This is the newest beer in their Brewmaster Reserve lineup. It's inspired by the Great Belgian Trappist and Monastic beers. It's a 7% ABV, 20 IBUs, available in 22-ounce bottles and on draft in specialty beer stores and pubs throughout the Pacific Northwest from mid-August to November. Full Sail will be offering Sanctuary at the Great American Beer Festival in Denver this September, so you might want to get there for that. Unless you don't have tickets, and then it really won't matter because they've been sold out for 2 weeks.
And we actually have this in the beer fridge for tasting for taste buds.
Nice.
Yes, they sent it to us last week.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it.
All right, then.
I'm a big Trappist beer guy. And we're going to talk about another one. Sierra Nevada and Trappist Monks brew authentic Abbey Ales. This could actually be a new segment, but...
Did they send us this?
No, this is not even out yet.
Well, we need to get Anna on the show.
Oh, we will. Oh, we plan on it. But they're going to release this. And this is, I wanted to bring this up because it involves Trappist beers, Sierra Nevada, and a lot of history. So next year, Sierra Nevada and Trappist Cisternian Abbey of New Clairvaux are working to bring this century-old tradition right here to the United States. with a Trappist-style Abbey Ale. Now, there's going to be three. It's a series of three Belgian-style Abbey Ales made in accordance with the centuries-old tradition of the monks. Each beer will only be available for a limited time, much like some of their other bombers, the 30th anniversary series. And they will rotate through the seasons. The first will be released in March of 2011. It will be a Belgian-style Dubbel brewed with authentic Trappist yeast. Now, here's the cool part of all this. This is where the history comes in.
Sweet.
Proceeds from this project will benefit the monks of the Abbey in their efforts to rebuild an architectural marvel. And, man, if we can get our asses out to this place after we've sworn many, many times, and they probably will think of us as Antichrist. They're rebuilding a 12th century early Gothic Cistercian chapter house.
Where at?
On the grounds in Vena, California, which is a few miles north of Sierra Nevada's home, in Chico. I think we can swing it.
Probably could.
This was begun. The medieval chapter house, Santa Maria de Ovila, was begun in 1190 near the village of Trio, Spain. They actually started working on this for nearly 800 years. And in 1931... California magnate William Randolph Hearst purchased the Abbey and shipped it lock, stock, and rock barrel to Northern California.
Really?
All of it. So Hearst's plans were never realized, and the stones fell into disrepair. In 94, the monks of the Abbey gained possession of the ruins and began the painstaking stone-by-stone reconstruction of the Abbey.
Huh.
So proceeds from the sale of this beer will help them complete that project. And that thing was built in 1190, started in 1190.
Really?
So that is some old-ass rock.
Some old-ass rock.
Yeah.
And much CCR.
I would love... Nice. That's awesome. That is money. Well done. Well done.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Nice. That'll be cool, dude. I'd like to get out there and kind of see that.
I would fall over.
Unfortunately, if I get anywhere near Christian stuff, I usually burst into flames, but turn to powder. But that's okay.
We all would. We're just Antichrist.
Especially you, man. This is for sure.
Oh, yeah. He went to church on Sunday.
You went to church on Sunday? I'm so proud of you, kind of.
Well, his baby boy
was
got baptized.
Baptized?
Yeah.
Nice. Now, is that a Catholic thing?
No, it's cross. Yeah, it's
just a Christian thing.
Yeah.
So are you Catholic or what are you?
I was raised Catholic, but we're like Lutherans now.
We're Lutherans now?
Lutherans.
You know.
I'm a beerarian.
Me too. Yeah. Moving right along very briefly, Beer Festival of the Week. This comes all the way from across the pond in Wellington, New Zealand, nearly halfway around the world. This would be the Brew NZ or Bruins, depending on how you pronounce it, Beervana. Come to the Wellington Town Hall in New Zealand for the ultimate beer tasting. Try beers from Auckland to Invercargill, and even Australia. Whatever. Rub
yes.
shoulders with 40... Oh, wow, this is
Foster's.
Cool. This is cool. Rub shoulders with 45-plus yes. premium craft brewers in one room with tasting of up to 175 different beers. Pretty damn good for New Zealand, I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely.
Experience beer and food pairings that you've never thought possible, which is good. That's what more beer festivals need is pairings.
Exactly.
Meet New Zealand's leading female brewer and discover how women have had a huge part to play in beer's history and will continue to play in the future. Enjoy beer enlightenment seminars featuring international guests, world-famous brewer Sam Calagione, the dog father, beer diva Kirillie Waldhorn from Australia, and the malt master Thomas Weyermann from Germany. Sorry, Kirillie, I've never heard of you before. It's okay. A lot of people I haven't heard of. You've probably never heard of me either. Wellington Town Hall, August 2010. Session 1 is on Friday the 27th from 12 to 4. Again, on Friday the 27th from 5 to 9. Saturday the 28th, 12 to 4, and again 5 to 9. Tickets are $30 per person, but the first beer is included in the ticket price. Again, this is something weird with these.
I don't know.
I wonder if it's an overseas thing, if it's a non-U.S. thing. You know, normally when you pay that kind of money to get in, you get all your beer for effing free. But here, apparently, you don't, right?
Again,
weird.
Just like we talked about at the Great British Beer Festival, there must be some kind of weird laws over there that they can't serve unlimited beer for one price or something.
That is really weird, really weird.
But you know, if you're in New Zealand, you are stuck there, and you probably want to go there. So
that's probably.
I would like to. We need to try to get over there. That
oh, dude.
New Zealand's supposed to be gorgeous,
dude. David
Stanley
has a ton of family over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we go hit them up and you know hang out. Beer
we
blog of the week.
Wrap this up with the beer blog of
beer
the week.
Beer blog of the week. Good thing you have never heard of Kirle Waldhorn. Because that is the beer blog of the week. The Beer Diva, beerdiva.com.au, is Australia's first lady of beer. She has an enormous passion for beer and is on a mission to make beer the new wine and to educate Australians about the benefits of pouring fine brew at the dinner table. Kirle, I think it's Kirle, is not your stereotypical beer Kirle presenter. Yeah, see, that's why I thought about that. She has appeared on radio, TV, and in the press talking about everything from ancient history of beer to beer gastronomy and busting
whoa,
beer mutts. So she's right up our alley, so to speak, without you making any other comments.
I'm glad I was drinking.
And she makes the beer bloggers of the week.
The beer blog.
And so, yeah, there we go.
That is going to wrap up this week's episode. Sorry we went a little bit long. We had a lot of stuff to cover because we were not here last week. So we're in a little bit over a half an hour. I apologize for that, but thanks for sticking with us. I appreciate it. And we will chat with you guys in exactly a week, except for, unless you tune into Taste Buds, which is this coming Tuesday. Make sure if you're attending the GABF that you really pay attention to BeerTap TV on Twitter, so twitter.com/@BeerTapTV, our Facebook page, and most importantly, our website at BeerTapTV.com. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of cool things we're really trying to work hard to incubate and kind of hatch for the GABF. I don't want to say anything about them yet because I don't want you guys to be disappointed if they don't come true. But things look to be pretty good.
A lot.
And there's a lot of really cool things that are coming for the GABF. So at any rate, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will chat with you later. I would be twitter.com/EricWalls.
And I would be twitter.com/ElyShayatovich.
7 days from now, my friends. Bye.
See ya.